We are here to bless his holy name. And so thank you for being here. What a great crowd we have tonight. What a great morning we had this morning. God is moving and at work. We had the altar fill in both services. We've had baptism in both services, and we're going to tonight again. And so we are so glad that you are here, and you're here where God is moving. Welcome to Lone Oak First Baptist Church. If you're a guest, you may be here to see someone being baptized tonight, or you may just be a guest who's come for the first time, or you've been here several times and not connected with us. Whatever the case, we'd love to connect with you. So if you would take the bulletin tear off and fill out the information there and place it in the offering box, we'll get in touch with you. Or if you want to connect digitally, you can pull out your phone and you can text 270-398-5005. It'll take you to an online connection card. Text the word connect to that number you see up there on the screen. There's other words you can text for other options as well. But we would love to get in touch with you, love to hear your questions and find out how you could plug in to what God is doing here at Lone Oak First Baptist Church. In Reach, we've had a goal of 500 gospel conversations, and we're getting really close to seeing Brother Scott dance, because I think we're getting very close to lighting up every light on the board. But don't stop. You just keep sharing that good news. I'll let Scott share more of that. Our goal is also 2,000 invitations, personal one-on-one invitations to Easter services, where you invite people to come and sit with you here in the sanctuary or over in the D building in the multipurpose room. There's going to be a 16-foot LED screen in there, improved sound, coffee and donuts, which you've heard, and lots of good things over there as well. So you might want to make some space in this room by going over to the multipurpose room. Tonight, we are going to celebrate what God has already been doing through Reach. We're going to have testimonies, we're going to have baptism, we're going to have extended worship time, and so I encourage you to worship through all that. And then next Sunday morning, we'll have the Lord's Supper. Next Sunday night, we will have the Easter musical, and it's called The Gospel. It'll be a presentation of the gospel through music and media at 6:30. So we encourage you to be part of that. Not only you come and worship, but you bring folks with you to hear that good news. Let's pray together, and then we're going to start with a time of worship and then go into a time of baptism. Father, thank you, Lord, for how you are working. We do say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Lord, would you be blessed tonight through the worship of your people, through the testimonies, through the baptisms, and through your Holy Spirit's presence in our lives and our worship. Would you come and dwell here in your house and in our hearts? May, Lord, we hear your voice and respond to it with obedience, surrender, and commitment. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you all stand together and let's worship?
here at Lone Oak First Baptist. And we're excited to have baptism. I want to introduce you to our candidates. We have 7 for baptism tonight, which is amazing. Praise the Lord. First, I want to introduce you to Logan Thomas. If you're here with Logan, would you stand in support of Logan's baptism? Logan is here. His family's been praying for him for a long time. And he has been just experiencing God's conviction in his life. And a couple weeks ago at the close of the service, I thought he was going to come down the aisle, but he didn't. And I said, man, when are you coming? He said, I want to set an example for my son. And I said, there's no better example than obedience. And so he responded this morning to the invitation, receiving Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and now following through with believer's baptism. But Logan, I want to give you the opportunity to profess your faith. Do you know you're a sinner in need of salvation?
Yes.
Who gives you salvation?
Jesus.
Can anyone else?
No, sir.
Can anything else?
No, sir.
It's because of that profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior that's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Next, we have Shane and Kim Alexander. Come on over here. Step out where they can see you. This is a couple that are coming for baptism, and I just thought it would be fitting for them to be baptized together. But we're going to baptize Shane first because he's the head of the household. He should be leading the way spiritually. And so if you're here with Shane and Kim, would you stand for them? Shane, you've come for believer's baptism, but I want to ask you, do you know you're a sinner in need of salvation?
Yes.
Who do you trust for your salvation?
Jesus.
Anyone else?
No.
Anything else?
No.
It's because of that profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior that I baptize you today, brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Kim, and she is also here to be baptized, believer's baptism. If you're with Kim, stand or remain standing. Kim, let me ask you, do you know you're a sinner in need of salvation?
Yes.
Who do you trust for your salvation?
Jesus.
Can anyone else save you?
No.
Can anything else save you? It's because of that profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior that I baptize you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Next, we have Dylan and Remy Cook, another couple. If you were here tonight with Dylan or Remy Cook, would you stand to show your support for God's work in their life? Dylan, you and Remy are coming for believer's baptism. You've professed Jesus, and now you are following through in believer's baptism, which will set the trajectory for your family. And we thank God, but I want to give you the opportunity to profess Jesus Christ. So Dylan, I'm going to let you go first as the father of the household. Do you know you're a sinner in need of salvation?
Yes.
Who do you trust for your salvation?
Jesus.
Anyone else?
No.
Anything else?
No.
It's because of that profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior that today, brother, I'm baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Remy. Remy, do you know you're a sinner in need of salvation?
Yes.
Who do you trust for your salvation?
Jesus.
Anyone else?
No.
Anything else?
No.
It's because of that profession of faith in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior that I baptize you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Next, we have Tracy Phillips. Tracy is such an amazing story. I don't have time to tell you, but she has been under conviction because 25 years or so she got saved, but she needed to get her salvation her baptism on the right side of her salvation. This morning she was playing the keyboard on the platform during worship, and she left the platform and came down to the altar to respond during the invitation to say, I need to get my baptism on the right side of my salvation. And we celebrate that. If you were here with Tracy, would you stand? Tracy, do you know you're a sinner in need of salvation?
Yes.
Who do you trust for your salvation?
Jesus.
Anyone else?
No.
Anything else?
No.
It's because of that profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior that I baptize you today, sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Finally, we have David Saxon. David has been coming to church for a while. He has been a believer for some time, but has just come under conviction that he needs to be baptized and have his baptism on the right side of his salvation as an act of obedience. If you were here with David, would you stand? David, do you know that you're a sinner in need of salvation?
Yes.
Who do you trust for your salvation?
Jesus.
Anyone else?
No.
Anything else?
No.
It's because of that profession of faith, my brother, that I baptize you today in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
We sing praise God.
Would you stand?
Praise God.
Our voices and praise the Lord for the great things He has done.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atoned. Praise the Lord, let the earth
just thankful for what the Lord is doing here in this place. We're going to continue in worship right here, right now, to give him praise, more praise for all that he is doing. Amen. Give him praise. Come on, here we go.
Testimonies tonight. We're going to do two at a time, and the first two are Janice Potts and Caleb Jenis, and Ms. Potts is going to come on now and share. As Brother Scott says, we're celebrating sharing. So these are testimonies about what God has done through sharing, through the fast, through reach, and through just all that is going on. So listen, and let's praise the Lord for what he has done.
Ooh-wee. Lots of people. I think most of you know, I don't know, some of you I don't know, that I have multiple myeloma cancer. And part of this is a result of my little light up here somewhere. I see doctors all the time. I have several here, and I have some in Vanderbilt. And each time I see them, I say that at the end, I tell them, I say, God's got this. And I have had problems walking lately, and so I do a lot of online grocery shopping. And about 5 weeks ago, I was at Walmart picking up my groceries, and this man came out, and he always asks, you know, so they'll get the correct groceries and everything, your name. So I told him my name, and I always thank whoever's helping me there. I say, I can't walk very far, especially in Walmart and everything, but I said, you all are my feet. You bring me my groceries out, and I really, really appreciate it. And I said, I have cancer and everything, so I can't walk very far. And he said, can I pray for you? I said, well, yes, you can. That man prayed for me right there. Now, I think he's from India. I don't really know. He seemed to be from there. And he had a red spot up here. And so anyway, he prayed for me and put my groceries in. And he said, I'll be praying to my God for you. And I said, okay. So, all right, about 3 weeks ago, I went back to pick up groceries, and this same man came out. And when he got to the car window, he asked me my name. He said, oh, I remember you. I've been praying to my God for you. And I said, oh, well, that's good. But I said, let me ask you, do you have Jesus in your heart? And he said, I've been praying to my God for you. I said, do you know Jesus? You've got to have Jesus in your heart. So anyway, that's about the gist of it and everything. He said he lives in an apartment here in Paducah. He has a wife, I know, he said. And they have a chapel somewhere on the first floor. He says, I pray every morning and night. And he said, my wife really gets aggravated at me because sometimes I pray 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours? Think about that. That's a lot. That's a long time. Anyway, so that's about all there is to it. That's all I said to the man. And I did leave. I said, I will be praying for you that you know that Jesus is in your heart. So that's all.
Hey, my name is Caleb Jennis, and I have a story to tell you. I wanted to start a Bible study at school because in the Bible it says we are to make disciples of all nations. The first time I tried to share about Jesus with other kids at school, it was in kindergarten. Those kids laughed at me and made fun of me. My mom and other grown-ups in my life tried to encourage me and to keep sharing Jesus. But I've been scared of getting made fun of at school. I sensed a strong feeling to share at my new school, Lone Oak Intermediate. I started inviting kids to read or listen while I read the Bible. I chose John 3. My mom suggested that this because it shares the gospel message while I read. The first day was on a Wednesday at recess after lunch. Only one person joined me, even though 6 or 7 other people said they would be there. That one person was Denver. He said, we sat on the playground, and I read John 3. After I was done, I read my notes to him. This is what I read to him. Born again does not mean to have birth again. It means to take away your old self, a sinner, and turn away from your sin. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Then I asked him if he accepted Jesus into his heart, or if he goes to a church. He said that sometimes his parents take him to a very small country church that is smaller than our school gym. I told him about our church and invited him to come to church with me. I told him about Upward basketball, football, and soccer. He said he would be interested in basketball. He told me he might come to church with me someday. He would need to talk to his parents. I would like to ask for you all to pray for me as I continue to share Jesus with the kids at my school.
Just remain standing. Let's tell the Lord thank you for all he's done. What a testimony. Good all the time. Let's continue to praise Him. Look at the cross. See His love and His goodness, His grace. Amazing love. Sing it to Him.
That welcomes me, the kindness of mercy.
Sing this. Father, we thank you for your goodness. As we hear these testimonies, as we've seen you at work in our church and in our lives, our families, oh, you're so good. And when we look at the cross, we're overwhelmed. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your love, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, and Dr. Andy Kinchin and Coy Elliott are going to come and share.
Hey, everybody. I'm Andy Kinchin, and when Brother Scott asked me to share about my fast week, I did not know I was going to follow Caleb. So, brother, that's awesome. So I wanted to share about my experience during the fast week. I've dieted on and off. I've never done a spiritual fast, like I bet a bunch of you guys hadn't either. And by his guidance, I thought about the things I wanted to pray for during this week. The biggest thing on my list was to be a more present father and husband. I've got three young kids, Bentley, Lucy, and Paisley, and a lovely wife, Shelby, right? And I'm incredibly busy, as a lot of people are, but was being way more busy with work. And so that was a big focus of mine. Another big focus was DNOW. My wife and I are youth leaders, and I was pumped about going to DNOW last weekend. Never been to one before, so I was really pumped about that. A day before DNOW, our babysitter called and said that she had the stomach bug and was not going to be able to stay with our kids. So the Holy Spirit incredibly quickly answered that first prayer of mine for the week of being a more present father by staying home all weekend with my kids while my wife went to DNOW. So it was an incredibly palpable experience for me, because I usually would have been probably really frustrated that I didn't get to do something I wanted to do. But instead, because I had been praying those things over and over and over all week, it was a blessing that I was able to spend that entire weekend with my kids, where I have never been able to do that in years. So that was the biggest thing for me. Second point that I learned was be careful what you pray for, because big time answered that one. So that's it.
Good evening. My name is Coy Elliott. Some of you know me as the principal at Lone Oak Middle School. My family and I joined about 2 months ago. So I've got an unbelievable story I want to tell, but I've got to start with a prequel to the story, I guess. I told this to my wife for the first time on Monday night, and we were laying in bed. It was about 10:30, and I don't know what brought up the conversation, but I just felt like I needed to tell her this story. And so I did, and I don't know, I got through it. And she told me at the end of, she said, "You really need to tell other people that story." And I just laughed about it, and we went to bed. And the next morning, this is no joke, the next morning at 9 a.m., I was at school, and I did answer my phone at school, Mr. Hunt. And it was our preacher calling me, and he said, "Coy," he said, "I don't know, it's been on my heart." He said, "I feel like you've got more of a story to tell." And I was like, "You got to be kidding me." I knew for about 3 or 4 weeks I needed to tell the story, and I wasn't expecting to give this plug to Mark and the choir, but for about 3 or 4 weeks in choir, I felt like I needed to tell them about it, and I just wouldn't do it. Choir is awesome. If you're thinking about joining the choir, this is your sign. You should join the choir. Mark does an unbelievable job. It's not just about music. I don't even know how to describe it, but it's not. And those of you that are a part of that know that. So God gave me the opportunity to tell about 40 or 50 people this story, and I decided not to, so now I've got to tell the entire church. So here I am now. So I'm originally from Graves County, Kentucky. I grew up in a little small Baptist church there, about 200 people on a big Sunday. I was born on November 3rd, 1983, and my first day of going to that church was November 4th, 1983. And my granddad was the song leader there for 40 years. I became a deacon in that church for the last 6 years. It was my home. And I got the job at Lone Oak Middle School, and my wife and I decided to move. I can't tell you why necessarily. It's been such a blessing since we have. If you're looking for a school, Lone Oak Middle School is the place, I can tell you that. A lot of good Christian people work there. It's just a pillar in this community, and it's the people that make up that school, and it's just been an awesome thing. And we felt like we wanted our kids to be a part of this community, and so we had to move to be able to do that. Most difficult decision I've ever made in my life. I lived in Farmington, Kentucky for 37 years. About 4 years, my wife and I went to Alabama for a short stint where she was in pharmacy school, but we still lived in Farmington when we came back home. And it was a difficult time. It was a great decision on our part. And so for 3 years after moving here, we have been going back and forth to Farmington. I don't know if you know where Farmington is, but it's about 45 minutes from here. We live in Avondale Plantation just across from Massette Country Kitchen. It's a pretty good drive. And, man, for 3 years, it was so difficult. We were playing church, if you want to know the truth. we quit going on Sunday nights. We didn't go on Wednesday nights. We would go every Sunday morning, but we were playing church. And I guess it was about this time last year. And we would load up and we would go, and there would be an argument from my daughter because she hated driving that far and we had to get up so early. Then it would turn into an argument with my son and my wife. And I mean, it was honestly a horrible experience for a couple months. And man, I'm the father of the house. I'm the leader in the household, and that's what we're going to do. And I'm a very strong-minded person, if you didn't know that about me, to the point of being hard-headed at times. And it was July, and we'd fought this for a couple months, and I remember being by myself in my truck, and I'm not a ask God for signs kind of person. I don't think you should tempt God, but I did. And I said, God, send me a sign. Send me something, because I just can't do this on my own. And I remember just saying it out loud. And so July went by, we started school, and got an awesome assistant principal, Matt Thompson. He came in my office, this was middle of August, and he mows my yard too. He's one of those just dual employees, man. He can do it all, you know. He takes care of the kids that are bad on Monday, and then he can mow your yard that afternoon, man. He's awesome. And he came in, he said, Coy, he said, we're going to mow your yard this week. And he said, there's a house somebody called me about. He said, I don't know where it is. They said it's in your neighborhood. I didn't know if you've seen the yard before. They said it was for sale. And you know where it is? And I was like, man, I don't even know what we were doing at the time. I was like, yeah, I think I remember seeing it, but I don't really go that way. And I said, well, whose house is it? And he said, I really don't know, but Lone Oak First Baptist called me and said, I need you to go mow this yard right down the road and get it cleaned up. And Matt said it was for the new pastor that was coming. So this yard is literally five houses down from my house. I just ducked my head. Probably can't tell you in church what I said at the time. But the pastor's moving to town, Lone Oak First Baptist. But that wasn't enough for me. I need more of a sign from God more than that, right? So Carly, Scott moved in next door, my wife. Made up something. I can't remember what it was. We went and visited them, gave that to them, and I didn't know it at the time. They had two boys, Scott and Everett. And there was something about, my wife had always said when we moved into the subdivision that we moved into, man, there were no little boys for my son to play with. And then all of a sudden, Scott Jr., a year older than Easton, and then Everett, a year younger than Easton. And I'll tell you something about both of them and my son, man, they're rough as cobs. And they just fit together. They started going over to each other's houses, spending time over there. Then Carly asked Ashley if she could take Easton to church on Wednesday nights. So my daughter was going with a friend, and me and Easton would sit at home. Ashley works every Wednesday, so she can't come to church. She didn't get off, and she works in Mayfield, and she couldn't get off in time to make it to church. And so it was just me and Easton sitting at home, and Carly asked if Easton could go. So for about 2 months' time, Carly would come and pick Easton up, and there I'd be, all by myself. All by myself at home, knowing what I was supposed to be doing. You know what's unbelievable about this Reach campaign, and I thought about this, Scott, is it's more than just words. It's actions. Don't lose sight of that. Do not lose sight of, it's not you going and speaking to someone. It's not you, it's the actions sometimes that speak louder than words. And there was one point, Scott Jr. was supposed to be going to church in Easton, and he came over to my house before he went, and I hear somebody splash in our pool. And Scott had jumped in the pool in his clothes that he was supposed to be going to church with, and his mom was supposed to pick him up in 10 minutes. And they developed a great relationship. So my daughter was asked to come to church just on a whim, on a Sunday night, I think it was, with Rachel, another one of her friends, a student at my school. And Hallie comes home and says, well, I got the lead role in a play that we're putting on here at church, Wizard of Oz. I'm going to be Dorothy. I'm like, you just went to church. Like, you didn't go there to audition for, you know, a play. And so because of that, we had to start coming here more because there was going to be practices afterwards. It made us come to it. And, you know, you said before, you stepped down a while ago, you said, you know, be careful what you ask for. God sent me a sign, no doubt. Ashley and I joined the church about 2 months ago, I guess it was. Y'all have been so welcoming, it's unbelievable. I can go back to choir. My only complaint with choir is some of the older guys in there found out that I was a Kansas Jayhawk fan, and since then, they went on a losing skid, and Kentucky started winning every game, so it's been very difficult for me whenever I go. But my wife and I joined the church, and she was Church of Christ before we married. And we went to church together. That's what we did. She never joined, though. I think we're going to be married 19 years, June the 10th. Is that right? Got lucky on that one. And for 19 years, she never joined the church. I prayed about it. It just didn't happen. And one night, we were talking again right before we were going to bed. And she said, I think that this is what we're supposed to do. I think that's where we're supposed to go. And she'll tell you, you know, why did she go 19 years and never join the church with me? She said she was embarrassed. You know, she was, after you do it so long and you get of that age, you don't want to be that, you know, that person, and I understand that. But maybe, just maybe, the reason that it took her 19 years was because 2 weeks after she joined the church, a little boy got to see his mom do what she was supposed to do. And maybe that was enough. My son, 2 weeks after my wife was baptized, was saved. It was the service that we had here that the prayer service and music service. It was an unbelievable service, but I want to tell you, man, we were under attack during that time, my wife and I were. I can't tell you the pressure that was on us during that service was so immense. I wanted to leave. And at that point, we got in those groups, and Scott was talking about praying, and we started to pray. And I remember praying to myself, God, just, I know why the pressure is on me. I know it's because of Easton. Just take it away. Just take it away from me. And when I got done saying the prayer, Easton looked up at me, and he said, I'm ready to be saved. And I can't tell you some of the doors that have been open for us just in the last 2 months. Those of you that see me at school on a regular basis, you usually don't see me like this. My wife will tell you I'm a pretty emotional person. What's happened in our lives is, I can't describe it to you, but I had to tell you the story because of what it's meant to me. I asked God for a sign, and he gave it to me. And I have no doubt that we are supposed to be at Lone Oak First Baptist. And I appreciate Scott and his wife, Carly. I appreciate what they've done in our lives. And you know how many houses there are in Lone Oak? And they moved right by us. I want to leave you with one last thing. Music's so special in my life. I love music. It's so powerful. An Elevation Worship song, their new song, another one. It says, you do everything on purpose. I can feel your spirit stirring. I've been praying. You've been working. You're working it all for good. So fan the flame and keep it burning. You're refining in the furnace. All the waiting will be worth it because you're working it all for good. Miracle after miracle. Open door after open door. Here it comes. So get ready for another one because another one is on the way. God is undefeated. He's never been beat. I don't know what God has in store for my family moving forward, but I'm looking forward to it. I have no doubt another one is on the way. God bless you all. Thank you.
You can remain standing. You can remain standing. We are going to move into a time of invitation response. This is what we need to do, church. This last song, I'm going to open up the invitation because there may be someone who needs to make a decision tonight. You may need to respond by receiving Jesus as your Savior. We wouldn't be surprised, and we would celebrate. You may respond by coming forward for believers' baptism. Today, we've had 11 people baptized, many baptized tonight. That's right. Amen. Maybe you need to be baptized. We would celebrate that. Listen, that's what we're here for. Maybe you need to join the church. You say, you know what? I want to be a part of what God's doing at Lone Oak First Baptist Church, and I wouldn't blame you. It is amazing. I told our deacons in our deacons meeting before this, the things that we are seeing happening here at Lone Oak First Baptist Church are the types of stories that we typically read about in books and seminary. These are the stories that you tell because you heard someone else tell them, but these are our stories that the Lord's given us. Amazing. We've got young boys proclaiming the gospel. We've got dads praying that they can be the spiritual leader. We have men who know they should be the spiritual leader in God, providentially giving them opportunities to do that. We have senior adult ladies that are sharing the gospel with Walmart delivery men. After the service this morning, I had a young girl. She went and got those 4x4 inviter cards. Remember, we're trying to invite 2,000 people to Easter at Lone Oak. She got one for every one of her classmates at school, and she brought them to me, and she said, Brother Scott, I'm going to take these cards, and I'm going to give them out to all of my classmates. I'm going to put one in each one of their little school mailboxes. And right here this morning after the service, we put the cards on the front pew, and we prayed for every single one of those students, that if one of them didn't have a church home, that God would bring them here, and they'd hear hear the gospel. That's happening through a third grade little girl. This is the stuff that books are written about, and God's let it be our story. So this is how I want you to respond. If you need to light a bulb, there's still some that are going to be lit. I'm going to tell you the number in just a second. But if you want to light one, you still have an opportunity. If you've shared the gospel and need to report it, now's the time. If you need to make a decision, I'm going to invite you to come forward. I need some of my ministers to come. We didn't have this plan, but I need some of my guys in position. I've got one here. Let me get somebody over on this side. Go ahead. Come on up, guys. We're going to have an invitation, and I want to tell you this, what else we can do. If you are still brokenhearted for somebody that hasn't responded yet, the altar is open. This isn't just a place where you can come to respond. It's also a place that you can come to lay down your burdens to the Lord. If you've got somebody that you're still brokenhearted for, that you're praying for the Lord to bring to him, I want to invite you, if you're physically able and you want to come and kneel down at the altar, at the steps, or here at the front of the platform, feel free to come and just give them to the Lord and say, Father, if you'll give me an opportunity, I'll be faithful in sharing, but you have to do the saving. But whatever you do right now, would you respond to the Lord's calling and promptings? This is the moment. Father, I ask that you would help us now to respond to this invitation. Lord, we have men and women in this sanctuary that are celebrating what you're doing. Your Holy Spirit is moving among us in a way that perhaps we have never seen before. Some have seen revival before, they've been a part of awakening, and they are just as hungry for it. But whatever the case may be, God, we have every reason to lift our voices and to celebrate. I pray, God, for anyone tonight that needs to respond, Lord, that you would break their heart to the point that they respond in obedience because they know you're calling them out of love. And Father, I pray for those that are going to lift their hearts up and in worship because they're still brokenhearted over someone. Lord, I pray that you would give them provide for them a divine opportunity to share the gospel. Lord, we pray, Father, that as much as we are celebrating, that this isn't the end, but it's only the beginning. Lead us now to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. The invitation is open. How do you need to respond?
Hallelujah. All I have is Christ.
Hallelujah.
that again.
Oh, Father, you used my ransom life.
I'm going to invite you to have a seat for just a second. I got it. Yeah, thank you. I want to invite you, I want to introduce you to some of our new family. Tanner, Lauren, would you guys come on up here? Tanner and Lauren are coming. Here, you stand next to her. It's better that way. Tanner and Lauren have been, y'all been visiting for a while. And they have, they're members of a sister church, but they live here and they've been visiting for a while, and they came down tonight and said that we want to move our membership to Lone Oak First Baptist Church. They've professed Jesus, they're baptized, but they are ready to serve and to connect here. So if you would welcome them, would you say amen? Yeah. Y'all can have a seat. Hey, we have one final order of business before we go. You see, we've been in this reach emphasis, which I'm just telling you, I'm blown away. I sat over here and I just wept like a child at what God was doing, and to see my church family and my friends, it's just been remarkable. It's been remarkable, and it's not over. It's not over. We're seeing God do so much, but this was technically the last Sunday of our reach emphasis. I told you could continue to share the gospel. That's advisable. And you can continue to invite people to Easter services. We want to have 2,000 people, but as far as this installation, really, this was our last Sunday to have it here at the front. Now, I have some bad news and I have some good news. I'm going to give the bad news first so that we can leave on a good note. Here's the bad news. The bad news is that when they constructed these signs, they really didn't have a way to evenly space the bulbs to get 500 light bulbs. Rather, because of the dimensions of the signs, there's 557 light bulbs. And I wasn't exactly sure how to break it to you, so I just held it close until this very moment. Now you're ready for the good news? In 5 weeks, church, 4 weeks, in 4 weeks, you have shared the gospel with 543 people. Praise the Lord. It is enormous. It is so big. The kingdom impact of your faithfulness cannot be measured on this side of heaven, but one day we will know what the Lord has done through you. And I am celebrating. I am just absolutely elated by how faithful and how good the Lord has been to us and through us. And I look forward to the gospel seeds that have been planted, being watered, and one day, oh, may we see them harvested. May we see them harvested. My recommendation is that we just keep watering the baptistry. And let's keep sharing, and let's keep discipling, and let's keep bringing people into the kingdom one by one. Amen. 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 And all God's people said, amen. You're dismissed.